How's it going, listeners? Chris GST here, web admin, PWP. We have two great interviews for you today. Chris Hackstrom of Pro Wrestling Collision, talking about their event that occurs this Saturday in Carbondale, Illinois. And then we bring you an exclusive interview with Samuel Del Sol. It's a fun listening. Talks about a lot of things, including his debut in PWG, the Brian Kendrick King of Flight tournament, and of course, the big event occurring in April, WrestleCon, for both Evolve and DGUSA. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. Hope you guys enjoy it. As always, leave us feedback at mailbag@pwponderings.com.
How's it going, listeners? Chris GST, web admin for PWPonderings.com. We're here with a very special guest. He is the working manager, and I believe we can call you the owner at this point, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a known fact.
Okay, the owner and operator of Pro Wrestling Collision out of Illinois, Chris Hackstrom. Chris, how are you doing?
All things considered, I'm doing all right. Not too bad. A lot going on, Chris, in the world of PW Collision, Pro Wrestling Collision.
Absolutely, and I'm not going to pull any punches here. Let's get down to it. What's going on? Our senior editor, Jerome Cusan, he sent you in a message. You posted it up on the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ProWrestlingCollision. What's going on there? What happened?
Well, you have to watch episode 4 to really understand everything that Jerome outlines in this letter. Him and I had talked personally, and one thing that I've learned over the past couple of years that I've been promoting and being involved with wrestling is sometimes it's just easier to tell the truth and not dance around issues and stuff like that. So Jerome sent this letter. I'm like, you know, it explains everything. So we're just going to publish it. And basically things got out of control at episode 4. It was a lot that had happened and really it culminated with a physical attack on 60-year-plus Bob Fester, who's 60-plus years old. And I understand where Jerome is coming from with that. For those that don't know, if you can check it out at ProWrestlingCollision.com, the entire article is up there. Basically, Bob Fester has been a ring announcer in Southern Illinois wrestling for I don't know how many years, probably before I was even born. And he was assaulted by Bull Bronson when Bull had previously attacked Shane Rich and security guards and other officials, and he could not be stopped. And finally, he was able to be stopped, but Bob Fester had suffered some minor injuries, and for Bob Fester's sake, he will not be at our upcoming taping this Saturday. That's Saturday, March 23rd at the Boys and Girls Club of Carbondale. And Jerome basically said that more for solidarity. In fact, one of his quotes is he's trying to be a voice for the voiceless, and he's seeing this one out for Bob. And I can understand where he's coming from with this. We're supposed to meet after the event. He wants to be assured that the issues and the problems that we had at episode 4 will not come up again. And I can guarantee you they won't. I am taking a stand against some of the actions that we had seen, you know, wrestlers beating up officials, and there will be severe consequences for wrestlers who will attack, you know, an official, security guard, God forbid, a fan. Lord knows we've had issues with that in the past. But one of the things that we're going to do is it's an official's discretion, but if there happens to be a wrestler who is happens to be just getting out of line and not listening to the official, and the official feels physically assaulted or feels his life is in danger, he can eject that person, and security will immediately, you know, escort him out, and you know, there could be charges pressed. There's been too much action down here in Southern Illinois, and that it gets really heated. You can look at the past of some other promotions where fans have been attacked or wrestlers had physically assaulted promoters. And that's something that we're not going to tolerate. And I'm taking steps to increase security increase the safety for our fans, for the workers, as well as those that volunteer their time to help us out at the concession area or our audio or video. They need to be protected. And so I appreciate Jerome's – I could see where Jerome is coming from on this, but you know, that loses part of our commentary team, as Jerome had done a fantastic job with Kevin Huntsberger. And so to show the fact that, things are changing and they will be different, I'm going to take Jerome's spot for this taping on March 23rd so I can be there to physically, you know, do what I need to do to make sure everybody is safe, but more importantly to show that things are changing and it's not going to be mob rules at Pro Wrestling Collision this Saturday.
One thing I want to point out, and you can check this out, youtube.com/PW Collision, episode 3. During the tag team title match, and you had Ace Hawkins and Ben Espinosa, and they were facing Angelus Lane and Alex Castle. There was, you know, Adam Testy was right there, you know, and he's kind of, you know, and obviously there had been some issues between him and Castle and Lane on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it did, I'm not going to say that I was uncomfortable watching it, you know, because Adam Testy, you know, he's a pretty fairly sizable guy, you know. I'm not saying that he couldn't handle himself against Castle, but he was kind of right there out there in the open. And then, you know, I saw Jerome and Huntsberger, and they were right there too. So I guess I can, I'm slightly saying I'm agree with Jerome. At the same time, though, I'm like, come on. but that's just me. That's just my opinion on it. And but I definitely see where he's coming from.
Right. Jerome has, if he feels like his person is his bodily, his body is in danger, he has every right to say these are unsafe working conditions, and I'm going to take it seriously and take steps to fix that. And, you know, even on Twitter, Matt Cage, who is we'll talk about in just a moment, I mean, he tweeted that that PW Collision is in such disarray with unhappy staff, unworthy champions, disconnected roster. Matt Cage, I can assure you that that coming up this Saturday, things are going to change for the better. The locker room is going to be more solid than ever. Despite the issues that you may have personally with Heath Hatton, our locker room is going to be more connected. We are going to have a much safer working environment. PW Collision has, in the first two tapings that we've had, the first four episodes, we've had amazing fan support. Our likes on Facebook continue to grow. Our Twitter followers continue to grow. More and more YouTube hits every day. I firmly believe that PW Collision is the future of pro wrestling in Southern Illinois. And again, we're not trying to revolutionize the business. We're just here to bring quality wrestling. And that's what we do. That's what we're going to continue to do. And that nothing is going to stop us from achieving that goal.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. As you said, Saturday, March 23rd, 7 p.m., location, the Boys and Girls Club of Carbondale, Illinois. Pro Wrestling Collision, I'm going to say nationwide TV tapings, because you can check this out on youtube.com/PW Collision. Check that out. These matches, I think, are probably going to be some of the best in terms of a talent from my perspective. So I'm going to start with the main event, Heavyweight Championship, Heath Hatton versus Matt Cage. Chris, this is a heated rivalry. Heath Hatton, he's a respected guy. If you caught the first two episodes, that tournament he went through was tough, you know, as it could get. His arm was injured a little bit. You know, hopefully he's had time to kind of heal that up. And Matt Cage, he's no joke. He may not have gone as far into the tournament as he wanted to, but, you know, we saw him and his partner Christian Rose take on the KOA, Sugar Duncan and Aaron Epic on episode 3. He knows what he's doing in the ring. And at this point, I think it's all mind games he's playing. You know, he's using social media and really getting under the skin of Hatton. I haven't seen too many of Hatton's responses, but the few I have seen, Hatton's kind of, he's not taking this well. So what do you think we're going to see here? You know, Hatton has to be, I want to relate this to this past UFC 158, you know, where Hatton's kind of the GSP and Cage is the Nick Diaz. Hatton's got to keep his focus, because if he doesn't, Cage is definitely a guy that could take the belt from him.
Absolutely. I think that Matt Cage is a man that knows how to talk, and he knows how to get into your head. And I can't say for certain if Matt Cage is in Heath Hatton's head or not. Those two have had issues in the past. In the previous promotion that we all had worked for, they have legitimate issues stemming from a tag team title match. And those have seemed to have carried over as Matt Cage had basically, which you will find out in episode 4 coming up on Friday. We're going to release that on our YouTube page. It basically had insulted Hatton as a father, calling him a failure, and even brought in Heath Hatton's 5-year-old daughter into things, and which you don't do. I mean, I don't care who you are. I know Matt Cage is a gifted athlete. You just don't do that. And it has gotten personal between these two. Now, one thing that Keith Hatton, and he knows that he is not the strongest talker, but he can back up everything that he may not say a lot, but he can back it up in the ring and then some. Keith Hatton, as far as the condition of his arm, the last time I saw it, he seems to be doing well. But I certainly would anticipate Matt Cage keying on that. It's going to be a heck of a contest between two men who started out as tag team specialists, has seemed to have grown in their own rights. Of course, Keith Hatton now being the heavyweight champion, Matt Cage has had singles glory on the independent circuit. It's going to be a heck of a contest between these two. I'm looking forward to watching the match. There will be amped up security for this match, as there will be throughout the entire event. But I anticipate this to be personal. Maybe I'm not necessarily a technical spectacular right away, because there's a lot of things that have been said. A lot of things have been taken personally. So certainly expect this to be an amazing match. Again, being the owner, I can't have any bias one way or the other. I do hope, though, that the issues between these two is settled and we can move on and continue doing business.
Absolutely, and I am telling people, you know, you're going to be hearing this before Friday when episode 4 comes out. Check out episode 3. Might even embed it here on the for the podcast. As always, Pro Wrestling Collision, you guys provide a lot of content on YouTube, so it makes it really easy for everyone to check out your stuff. So check out Matt Cage, his partner Christian Rose. They took on the KOA. You know, when you go up against guys like Sugar Duncan and Aaron Epic, who are definitely world-traveled, and you hold your own, that says something about you. So I'm looking forward to this. I guess, speaking of that, can we – I don't really know how else to put this. Is Christian Rose – is it going to be a factor? Or is there some type of stipulation where they're not allowed at ringside?
There is no stipulation for that. I am certainly going to talk to all individuals and all parties involved, because I'd like to see a clean contest. But the one thing that you can never count out about Team Overkill is they travel together, and Christian Rose even says at the end of episode 4 that they're a gang. But I can assure you that the security will be amped up enough that the gang will not have an effect on the outcome of the match. So good luck, Christian Rose, Zach Sawyer, but I am looking forward to seeing a one-on-one contest.
Absolutely, and I know the three of them are listening. You know, they have definitely pointed us out. You know, on Twitter, they told PW Ponderings, you know, watch out for the future. So
bring something up really quick.
Sure.
Matt Cage likes to say that Keith Hatton is the golden boy, and he's receiving everything. He's not receiving a thing. Keith Hatton has earned everything that he's gotten. Matt Cage, I will give you all the props in the world. You are an amazing athlete. You get it done in the ring, but some of your tactics I have to question. I think that Christian Rose, Matt Cage, and even their protege, Zach Sawyer, to an extent, have really come a long way since I've been following independent wrestling in Southern Illinois. Props to everybody involved in Team Overkill and Keith Hatton, of course. But we just want to see a one-on-one contest between two amazing athletes, and that's what we're going to get on Saturday, March 23rd.
Absolutely. And that's, of course, that's the singles competition. Let's head into tag team wrestling. For the tag team titles, it is Ace Hawkins and Brandon Espinoza making their second title defense versus the Submission Squad. I think, you know, I asked people to email us, and we got a few questions about this. And something I want to point out. So, you know, Pro Wrestling Collision, you guys have had a short run so far, you know, in your existence. And the Submission Squad, they're coming in, they're getting, you know, a title shot. So why does that happen? How is that affecting the rest of the roster? And what are you expecting out of this match?
Well, I can tell you that Ace Hawkins, Brandon Espinosa are fighting champions. They're willing to take on any team at any time. And I give them so much credit for that. They have fought and scratched for the championship belt that they hold in PW Collision. They earned those championships last year. And you know, the Submission Squad, they are well known. I mean, you've seen their exploits on YouTube. Certainly, well known across, the Chikara universe, infamous, if you will. But they put out the challenge. And Brandon Espinosa and Ace Hawkins accepted. That's all there is to it. The locker room, everybody seems to have, their sights set on certain individuals, and, So there really has been an uproar as far as guys coming in receiving a title shot. But again, being a new company, you want to bring the best matches and some of the more established stars. And the submission squad, they certainly are established. Espinosa and Hawkins are amazing as a tag team. I don't think they get enough credit for some of the work they do and the many miles that they travel every single week. I mean, these guys are traveling all across the Midwest, you know, to the upper Midwest and in the South. I mean, these guys are all over the place, and they don't get enough credit for all that they do. The Submission Squad, again, are world-traveled as well, you know, very infamous. I think it'll certainly be a great contest between these two. And Espinosa and Hawkins will not back down from a challenge. So there's a tag team out there. Heck, the KOA, they want to come back, and they want a tag team title shot. They're gunning for those titles as well. So I think that speaks volumes about the quality of the product of Pro Wrestling Collision itself. But if you are a hardworking wrestler and you get noticed, you're going to get an opportunity.
I think that's a fantastic way to think about it. You know, these guys are fighting champions, so they're welcome to anyone challenging them and bringing them in and letting them showcase what they can do. And I think that's going to be great to see when we finally get to see it on YouTube. The No Limits Championship. This is obviously there was a tournament for this title, you know, way back when, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And Joe O'Reilly, he brought it over to Pro Wrestling Collision. He's facing Jay Spade. Now, that's a name that, you know, some longtime fans are probably familiar with when it comes to your promotion and you guys that you represent. But he's coming into Pro Wrestling Collision. This is his debut. What is the backstory of this, Chris?
Well, it's no secret if you're familiar with Southern Illinois wrestling, Jay Spade and Joey O'Reilly as a team are known as Team Triple X. They are not only a tag team, they are best friends outside the squared circle. These guys have traveled the road up and down. They've come in together. They've got family ties together. These guys certainly are more than a tag team, more than friends, they are brothers. And last year, when Joey O'Reilly defeated Jay Spade in the quarterfinals for the semifinals for the No Limits Championship to crown the first No Limits champion, Jay Spade stepped away from wrestling. He needed to focus on other things in his life, and Joey O'Reilly said he told Joey that he wanted him to win the championship, do it for the team, and when he comes back, he wants a shot. Joey accepted, and I received a phone call from Jay Spade about a month ago saying that, you know, he's got things to where he wants in his life. He's been in the best shape. He's in the best shape right now of his life, and he wants to have an opportunity at the No Limits Championship. I said, Jay, it's great to have you back. Joey, I know he's going to accept. Talk between the two. We signed it. And so here is the rematch, if you will, between Jay Spade and Joey O'Reilly. This time it is for the championship. But again, these guys are more than friends. They are brothers, and they know each other very, very well. So both of these men are going to have to pull out some different arsenal. I think Jay Spade may have the advantage because he's had a chance to watch Joey wrestle over the past few months since they last fought. But Joey has not had a chance to see Jay wrestle. And so this might be more in favor of Jay Spade in this contest, but it is going to be an outstanding match regardless.
And, of course, it being for the No Limits Championship, I mean, this is a style of wrestling that these guys can really bring. We saw Joe O'Reilly in the tournament to crown the heavyweight champion, and he really brings that different style. And I think a lot of the fans, you know, not just in Illinois, but anyone that's watching it, I think they're going to really enjoy what, you know, what comes of this. Going forward with the No Limits, is there going to be, I want to say, a dichotomy between it and the heavyweight championship? Because as far as I'm concerned, Joe O'Reilly, he carries himself as important as Heath Hatton does, you know, when it comes to his standing within Pro Wrestling Collision. You know, at some point, are we going to see some rankings for the No Limits title, or how is this going to be built?
Well, the No Limits Championship is about there is no reward without the risk. And maybe that's where it differs from the Heavyweight Championship, because at a time when this concept came around, guys like Joey O'Reilly and Jay Spade weren't contenders for the heavyweight title. They were just too small, and it's really not about it's no limits. There's no size limits to the No Limits Championship. It's not like a cruiserweight title. If I had to compare it, you know, maybe compare it more to an X Division championship, but these guys were needed something to fight for, and that was kind of the thought behind the No Limits Championship. And now that things have changed in Southern Illinois wrestling, You know, I think that Joey, like you said, he carries himself very well. He carries himself as a champion, as a fighting champion. And as far as rankings go, you know, it's something to wait and see what may come out of it. There is actually, as we go further down the card, and in fact, I'm just going to go ahead and jump ahead now, assuming you don't mind, Chris, that there is actually going to be a championship opportunity on the line between Zack Sawyer and Farmer Billy Hills. Those two will fight it out for a championship opportunity for either the No Limits Championship or the Heavyweight Championship, or even if they wanted to find a tag team partner for the Tag Team Championship. So there certainly rankings will be established, but again, being such a new company, you know, we want to bring in the best and the brightest. We don't want to be limited by a ranking system. If there's somebody who's the best and wants to challenge for a championship, we don't want to be hampered by those that ranking system. So that may happen in time, but as of right now, I mean, I think there's some great matches that are already set on the card.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. Zack Sawyer, as you said, he's kind of the protege, so to speak, of Team Overkill with Matt Cage and Christian Rose. You know, that I believe it was between episode 2 and 3, you know, they pretty much told him, you know, you got to step up your game. You have to prove to us that you're worth being part of this team. And Billy Hills, he's no slouch. He's not going to be easy to beat. So, you know, this is, to me, is more one of the more important matches, you know, on this card. How do you think Zack Sawyer is going to pull it off?
I don't know. Zack Sawyer can be cunning. He can be devious, which is probably why Team Overkill has accepted him into the family now. You know, it's just one of those things that you wonder how he's at 2-0 right now. Zack Sawyer is sitting at 2-0, where Farmer Billy Hills is sitting at 0-2. And I want to correct myself. I misspoke earlier. If Zack Sawyer wins this contest, he will receive a No Limits Championship, whereas if Farmer Billy Hills wins this contest, he will receive a Heavyweight Championship contract opportunity. So I apologize. I kind of misspoke there a little bit earlier. But to go back to the previous question, Zack Sawyer can be cunning. Farmer Billy Hills will have to watch out for that. Obviously, the farmer has a little bit of size on Zack, but don't count him out, because he's learned to be crafty, and you know, the farmer's going to have eyes in the back of his head.
So the next matchup, it's Chase King versus Justice. I really don't know all that much about these two guys, you know. But of course, as always, you know, you being a new company, these talents are trying to establish themselves, especially when it comes, you know, for the championships. What are these two guys gunning for?
Well, they're trying to gun to amass a record. I mean, right now, Justice is probably one of the biggest fan favorites we have. But he right now is sitting at 0-2. After two live events. And Chase King, you know, on the other hand, I mean, he is sending a message to his opponent, Kyle Sykes. He picked up a victory in his debut match, and then in a tag team contest with his half-brother, Matt King, against Sykes and Casey Jackson. So really, these guys are fighting for ground in Pro Wrestling Collision. You know, Chase King trying to keep the upper hand, and Justice trying to find himself a win.
Could we say the same thing, I guess, about Gary J and Shane Rich? You know, it's pretty much they're trying to establish themselves in front of, you know, obviously in front of your fan base, but in front of you as well.
Well, the serial thriller Shane Rich has been gunning for Bull Bronson. And after the actions of what we saw on the attack on Bob Fester, I suspended Bull Bronson indefinitely. And I've been receiving phone calls from Shane Rich. He wants Bull, but that's not going to happen. However, Gary J, who was a member of the Submission Squad, you know, certainly has a great record of his own, an established star. You know, Jay wants to break into Pro Wrestling Collision and seem, you know, establish himself as a threat. So Shane Rich being the cornerstone of Southern Illinois Wrestling, putting these two together is really going to make for an amazing contest, in my opinion. You know, Gary J, I don't think he has an easy task at all, but the serial thriller, hopefully he's not distracted. I mean, because Gary J is a great superstar, great wrestler, and, you know, Shane Rich may have other things on his mind, but he needs to focus on Gary J. And again, it's trying to gain ground in Pro Wrestling Collision, just our third event, but already seeing some great talent coming in, and we're trying to bring just the best wrestling to the region, and that, I think, match epitomizes good wrestling. Great wrestling.
Yeah, I saw the promo that Shane Rich cut on episode 3. You know, the crowd really seemed to know him, and you, as you noted, he's kind of a fixture there. So, you know, if he's trying to break in, you know, break into Pro Wrestling Collision, obviously you've put kind of a test in front of him. We'll see what happens there. The next match, though, is kind of interesting. It's Alex Castle versus El Matadoro, who, you know, a lot of people saw for the first time. And I don't know. I don't want to say that it is a demotion, but Alex Castle, you know, he was in the heavyweight title tournament. He and Angelo Sling lost their tag team title chance. And now he's facing a guy, El Matador, that we really don't know all that much about. What can you tell us about this match?
Well, it certainly is no secret the issues between Alex Castle and the creative director, Adam Testa. You know, El Matadoro is 1-1 right now. He, of course, lost to Bull Bronson, but you know, he wanted to continue his pro wrestling career as he originally thought he was facing. From what I can tell, he has very awful English, very similar to that of El Generico. But El Matadoro wants to continue in the squared circle. So he actually picked up a victory over Frank Wyatt. Unfortunately, it was the fact that Frank Wyatt was disqualified due to excessive violence. But El Matadoro has continued to fight and to train. And so Castle and El Matadoro, I don't want to say that there is any hidden motive or agenda behind this match. I've gone on record and stated that I believe Alex Castle is a fine competitor, despite the fact that him and Testa may disagree. I think that Alex Castle needs to reprove himself, and a win over El Matadoro would certainly go a long way for him, but it would be huge for El Matadoro to pick up a victory over Alex Castle. So, you know, could we see an upset? I don't know. Is Castle frustrated? Possibly. Could we see that in this match? Certainly. So we will find out between the two, and I will say this to Mr. Castle. I understand some of the issues you may be having with our creative director, and I can assure you that Mr. Testa will not be at ringside for your contest. So, you know, no need to worry on that situation at all, but we will, as I said before, we're not only trying to protect the safety of our fans, but also of our wrestlers and staff. So I think it's in the best interest for everybody if Mr. Testa is not ringside for that match.
Next up, we have Reed Bentley. He's one half of the League. I feel like he's pretty well known. He's going up against Mikey McFinnigan, who, you know, I saw his match in episode 3. Kind of scrappy kind of guy. I think this could be a fun match for everyone. Yeah, but as you said, you know, you're bringing in some of the best talent around, and they're getting to show what they can do up against, you know, the established talent of Pro Wrestling Collision. You know, I think it could go far if Mikey McFinnigan gets a win here.
It certainly would be a huge feather in the cap of Mikey McFinnigan if he can pick up a win over Reed Bentley, but I don't know. Reed Bentley, you know, he is amassed a huge amount of success here in the Midwest and the South. His hard strikes is, of course, known throughout the area, and no nonsense attitude. He doesn't care what people think. He is out there to win. And Mikey McFinnigan, though, on the other hand, I mean, he, like you said, he's scrappy. Known as the big mustache on campus, Mikey McFinnigan. He likes to have a good time, is a fun loving guy, and certainly will be a clash of styles in this match, I think. And again, it's all about gaining ground right now. This is a very important taping where a lot of guys, you know, we're going to kind of separate the cream of the crop, if you will. The cream will rise and the curds will fall to the bottom. So we'll find out here in this match, is Reed Bentley able to pick up a win over Mikey McFinnigan, or vice versa. One of these two men will continue to excel in Pro Wrestling Collision. The other, you know, we may not see for a while.
Well, one guy who I know, you know, in Pro Wrestling Collision, Axe Allwirt, he's quite the man, and I guess he's going to be able to pick a partner to go up against Jeff O'Shea and Malachi Matthews. You know, Axe Allwirt, he's kind of, I'm not really sure where this comes from, because, you know, as you said, a lot of these guys that have been established in Illinois, but I may not have seen them as often in other promotions, but he seems to have this attitude that, you know, he deserves to be in that championship hunt no matter what. And then, of course, you know, we saw other guys, they already come to the promotion and call him out. Why is he so important?
Axe Allwirt has been a mainstay in Southern Illinois wrestling, maybe longer than the serial thriller Shane Rich, but maybe the reason why Axe has not received as many accolades as Shane Rich is because He has not been taken as a liking to the fans. The fans don't seem to care for Axe Lawler, but Axe gets it done in the ring. Now, earlier this month, we actually received a cassette tape. If you still know what these are, we received this cassette tape in the mail and actually had an intern transcribe what the message had said. Axe Allwirtz has gone through a transformation. Now that he's a part of Pro Wrestling Collision, in the past he had a certain established mentality, being a veteran. But now he's a veteran, but it's a different world that he lives in right now. And he wants to try to reestablish himself and reinvent himself. And he wants to find someone that can team up with him and kind of rekindle the old ways. Gaylord Stevens, Jay Wellington, Beauregard are trying to find the perfect partner for Axe Allwirtz. And that may not be an easy task because if you haven't noticed, Axe Allwirtz doesn't have a whole lot of friends or very many friends in the Southern Illinois area. But the Willisville native is going to be looking for that partner. And we're not going to know who that is. I don't know who that partner is yet. We're not going to find out until March 23rd when Axe Allwirtz and this partner take on Jeff O'Shea and Malachi Matthews, two other young up-and-comers who want to establish themselves in Pro Wrestling Collision. I don't know what to expect out of this match, Chris, and I'm intrigued and looking forward to finding out who this partner may be and if they're even going to get along with Axe. It certainly will be interesting to see, but this tag team match, I've got my eye on this tag team match because I want to watch O'Shea. I want to see Matthews. I know what Axe can bring, and I don't know who this partner is, so certainly if you're a wrestling fan of Southern Illinois, you want to keep an eye on this match because this could be the future right here.
Yes, he's definitely not a man that I would want to cross in a lighted or dark alley ever. So I'll just keep it at that.
That's all I can tell you.
Exactly. Last but not least, we have Matt King versus Kyle Sykes. I think this match is going to be fun. I don't know a lot about Matt King, but Kyle Sykes, the little I've seen of him, this could be a fun match for everyone.
Well, there's clearly some issues between Kyle Sykes and Chase King, who is the half brother of Matt King. This match is really for Kyle Sykes. He wants Chase King, but in order to get to Chase, he's got to go through Matt King at first. So his first chance of redemption, if you will, from the loss on the tag team match that you'll see in episode 4 coming up this Friday, the 22nd. You'll want to check out that match, but it's going to give a little bit of redemption for Sykes. And certainly a match that Matt King is a little bit of a different style than Chase King. So it's certainly a chance for Chase King to scout Kyle Sykes as well. But for Matt King to establish himself, in Pro Wrestling Collision as well. So another match you're going to want to keep your eyes on.
Yeah, that's very much the theme of this TV taping. You know, as you say, you're a relatively young promotion. And, you know, going forward, these are the guys that I think can either be the future of your promotion, you know, or as you said, we may not see them for a little bit, you know, if they lose. So going forward, Chris, anything else about this event that you can tell us about? I know that, as you said, you know, it is occurring at the Boys and Girls Club in Carbondale, and I think that's great that you have that relationship with them. Is there anything else about this event that you care to tell us?
Well, I do want to touch on that really quick. I mean, the Boys and Girls Club have been amazing to work with in developing our partnership with them, helping raise money for the Boys and Girls Club here in Carbondale and helping them become, get them well known in the community. I think that one thing that Pro Wrestling Collision does well is social media. You know, we hit Twitter, we hit Facebook. We're out there on YouTube. And of course our ties to the media in the community, radio, television, newsprint. So we're certainly in people's thoughts and in their minds. And if we can help convey the messages that the Boys and Girls Club want to put out there of the right way to grow to learn and to grow as a person, as a young person, we want to see it help and do that. And of course, our many of our performers and wrestlers are able to help out and kind of help convey those messages as well. I know we've got some plans to Heath Hatton, the current champion, is going to talk about nutrition to the Boys and Girls Club. I know Farmer Billy Hills, he really wants to read this old farm book that he's got that his grandma gave him a long, long time ago. He wants to read to them. And so our wrestlers want to be actively involved with the Boys and Girls Club and vice versa. So it's a tremendous partnership. To back to your first question, though, as far as what to expect of this taping, expect the unexpected. But understand that we are going to take a lot more precaution when it comes to safety and security. I will not tolerate anything but order, and I want to see the best wrestling. And I think that that's what everybody wants to see out of Pro Wrestling Collision. I really think that's what everybody in the back wants, as well as all the fans. They just want to come out and see the best wrestling action in the region, and that's what you get when you get to a Pro Wrestling Collision event.
Absolutely. So that takes place this Saturday, March 23rd, 7 p.m., Boys and Girls Club of Carbondale. That's at 250 North Springer Street in Carbondale, Illinois. Pro Wrestling Collision, you can check their website out at ProWrestlingCollision.com. Chris, we want to thank you for the time you spent with us. And as always, let our listeners know where they can contact you or Pro Wrestling Collision on social media.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. We always appreciate the time. You can contact me directly at The Real Cool Rock. That is my personal Twitter account. You can also get a hold of us at PW Collision on Twitter. Also on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Collision. On YouTube, youtube.com/PW Collision. Check out all those places. It's easy to get a hold of us. We always are interacting with our fans. And of course, as you know, one of the things we also do is we've got a little web show of our own, a little radio show called From the Rafters Radio. And you can get a hold of us at Rafters Radio on there. And of course, this is actually, I think, the first time I've talked about this, but we are going to be doing a special benefit show, Chris, for Adam Testa and Aaron Heller. For those who may not know, they had lost their house in a fire back in at the end of January, beginning of February, and it's been a very difficult time for them. The wrestlers and the staff are banding together on April 20th. That's a Saturday. It is a week before our next event, which is going to be on Saturday, April 27th. But we're going to be putting on a benefit show at the Carbondale Civic Center. Doors will open up at 1, bell time for 2. A lot of matches we're going to announce immediately following our upcoming event this Saturday. But we'll get into more details about that later on. But I want to get that out there now. But certainly a special benefit for something that's hit really close to home.
Yes, a very worthy cause. It was pretty devastating, you know, seeing that on Twitter. Adam Testa, you know, him and his roommate, their house pretty much just burned down. And I know that his roommate has found a new place, and Adam Testa has found a new place. But that's quite a loss.
Yeah, they lost a lot of things, and it was pretty much a total loss. I mean, Adam was able to salvage some. Aaron has a young son who lost all of his toys, all of his clothes, and the generosity of the Southern Illinois community has been amazing and fantastic. But there's still a lot of things that, after you get through something devastating like this, you don't realize that you use or you need until it's gone. And that's what they run into, and that's why we want to have this fundraiser for them coming up on the 20th of April.
Absolutely. So as always, you can check out ProWrestlingCollision.com for all that information, and keep an eye out Friday. Subscribe to their YouTube page. That Friday you get episode 4, and you can catch up on all the action that goes on Pro Wrestling Collision. Once again, Chris, thanks for checking us out, and thank you to all of our listeners for listening. Have a good week. How's it going, listeners? Chris GST, web admin for PWPonderings.com. We have a very special guest today. He's a man who is in demand all over the continent, if not all over the world. Samuel Del Sol, how are you doing, sir?
Good, good, man. Like I always say, lucha, lucha.
Exactly. And you have been doing quite a bit of lucha all over the place. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff coming up in April. And this weekend alone, though, is also going to be very big for you, and I'm excited for it. Unfortunately, I live about 6 hours away, otherwise I would be making the trek. You're making your PWG debut. And
that's correct.
For All-Star Weekend 9, on Night 1, you are teaming up with AR Fox to take on the Inner City Machine Guns of Richelieu and Ricochet. We talked about this last night on the weekly newscast, and there were 4 of us on. Every single one of us said, this is going to be the match that steals the show, hands down, because there is absolutely no way with the 4 of you involved that it couldn't. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? You're in there, obviously, with 3 very accomplished wrestlers, and you are as well. Your style just adds to that mix of it's going to be a crazy match.
Well, when I first actually heard of it, at first it was going to be the Smash Brothers, but either way, I'm still psyched of PWG debut. So when they changed it with me and Air Fox and the Inner City Machine Guns, I'm like, oh, okay, I think this is going to be a crazy aerial mixture here. Now, basically me saying that this is going to be intense type of match, because a crazy aerial, high-flying, lucha libre type of match. So I don't want to give maybe too much, you know, like I strongly recommend this match for everyone to see. It's a must-see, and I'm really excited, and I think it's a really great start for a future.
Absolutely. And then on night two, you're taking on TJ Perkins, who I think is also a fantastic opponent for a guy with your type of style. I know Jerome has, our senior editor, he's raved about you in AAW before. So you coming out to the West Coast and having a match with a guy like TJ, I'm expecting a lot of kicks. That's
Oh, yeah. TJ is one of my favorite guys to work with. And I've worked with him, but never actually against him. So I'm that's the second match I'm also looking forward to, because TJ is a great wrestler. And like I said, I love wrestling, great talent, you know. We can make art in the ring, you know, that's what I like to call it, art. So TJ is one of my favorite guys too as well. So that's one of the second matches I'll be topping off with for PWG.
Absolutely. And then that Sunday, I mean, speaking of art, we have Brian Kendrick's King of Flight tournament. You know, it's an eight-man single elimination. I'm trying to find the words to describe. We have guys like Amazing Red and Paul London, who I want to say kind of not necessarily revolutionized, but they really brought out that style. And then we have the Young Bucks, AR Fox, yourself, Ricochet. Obviously, we don't know the brackets yet. But what are your thoughts on this? How, in a tournament style, is there a certain pacing you have to go through, because you know that when you win your match, you have two or three more matches to go through? How do you prepare for something like that?
Well, for me, I do my own thing, you know. I do a little bit of my gymnastics training, my mentally and physically training. So that's also one event I've been also looking forward to. And not only that, you got Paul London, the people who started all this, you know, motivated me as a youngster when I was looking at them first, you know, all the cruiserweights, you know, like Hogan Truth and all those guys too. And that's something I'm also looking forward to, and I want to lay it all on the table, just to, you know, not show myself, but show the entire world what I can do inside the ring, especially on top of the rope.
Absolutely. So it's because, as you have mentioned, I've listened to other podcasts with you before, you know, talking like, for example, with Brian Alvarez, and you do talk about that. You have a love for the lucha style of wrestling, and it's very different from the quote unquote American style. And I know that a lot of our listeners and a lot of indie fans are like, you know, it's high flying, it's a fantastic style, but there is an art to it. It's not like you're just going out doing flips. There is a storytelling element that is just different.
Oh yeah. See, that's what I like to call it, art, because, I mean, I can do all that. I can do their type of style that's in Mexico, and they have a whole different style. I could do that. But when I take that and use it, the style that we're used to, you know, I like to make it as an art. You know, I just don't do crazy lucha stuff. I just don't do it all of a sudden. I like to put it in the right mixture, and I like to create art in the ring, you know. So that's something I love to do.
Now, is this the first time that you're coming to, obviously, to wrestle in Los Angeles? But have you been to Los Angeles, I'm assuming you have, before?
Yeah, sure. I've been to Lucha Baboom, and that's another great great promotion for their Lucha Libre style and circus. And I've been over there in California for Dragon Gate, actually, the past Dragon Gate USA that was there.
Was there anywhere that you're looking forward to coming back to? I mean, so I used to live in Hermosa Beach down there, so I'm slightly familiar with the area. I guess, you know, I can't say. I live in Sacramento right now, not exactly the greatest weather at this point. But, are you looking forward to coming out to California, maybe hoping to get a little bit of sun? Is there anywhere in particular you're going to visit? Like, say, I don't know, Disneyland. A lot of people come here for that.
Oh, man. Well, if I had a couple of days before in advance to be there, but apparently the day of the show, I'll be arriving and then straight shot right there. So maybe once I'm done, I do sometimes I do get a chance to do a little sightseeing, you know, relaxing, going visit some shops or whatever. Or I love actually every time I when I drive over there, I love watching the palms, and the smell of the air reminds me of. Well, I mean, because right now we're close to the water, but I just the smell of it. You know, it's different in Chicago because I'm a Chicago guy, so. You know, it's something different that I like doing. You know, I like sightseeing. So whatever little time I get, I either walk or I go wherever the wind takes me, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I recently had Jerome out, and he's also in Chicago. Obviously, that's how he's able to hear to AAW.
Yeah.
And, you know, he came out here and, you know, I showed him the Pacific Coast and everything, and he really enjoyed it because it's different, right? I've been to Chicago, and I visited, and I will say I got a little homesick just because I'm used to the urban area, the landscape of Chicago, but there's no ocean.
Yeah.
There's a certain type of breeze, as you said, the air. The air is different.
Sometimes or when I go to Canada, it's a different type of air, and you know it's something I'm adapting already because I'm traveling a lot more, and that's something that I'm getting used to already. Just my body's preparing for it because I do feel sick sometimes. Different type of food, or it could be any little thing. You know, that's something that my body's getting used to already.
For sure. Well, as we said, you are literally in demand. All over the place. So it just seems like as we're reporting news, your name is just popping up everywhere, and I think that's great, obviously for you. And I remember reading about you for the first time. It was in one, you know, the Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines, and I was like, Samuel del Sol. I know you've mentioned this before. So you took, you know, the kind of an Asian influence, the samurai, and you went, well, I wanted to kind of mix it a little bit different, you know, of the sun.
Exactly.
And I just thought that was kind of neat, and I kind of assumed, because obviously I'd never seen you back then. I did some tape trading, but you know there wasn't a lot of, I guess, local stuff. A lot of tape trading was from Japan, whatever. So I kind of assumed, just from your name alone, that you were a high flyer. With that lucha, just because I knew that you had a mask and everything, so I kind of said, okay, he probably is doing kind of a lucha style. But as you've mentioned before in past interviews. You kind of blended it. You know, you do some of some striking as well, and you mix in, as you said, your art form of the lucha style. When you go to different areas, though, you're obviously facing different types of competition. Like going to Canada, you know, they're very technically sound up there. When you come to America, you know, we kind of have our hybrid style, especially on the East Coast. How do you, I want to say, prepare for that, you know, because you have your distinct style, and sometimes you're facing someone you've never met before, and you can study them as much as you want on, you know, on DVD, MP4, whatever. But until you actually meet them in the ring, how do you face that competition when you're facing someone with a style that may be completely different than anything you've faced before?
Well, I want to thank myself in joining Greco-Roman wrestling at first. Through all high school, I did that, and I think that was a big help because I went to state for high school wrestling a couple years, and I believe my high school wrestling background helped a lot, especially when I went to Mexico and learned their chain wrestling, which is they're really huge in chain wrestling a lot, and there are so many submissions maneuvers and all that. So after that, I also had training. And Taekwondo when I was I had Taekwondo training when I was a kid, and I had gymnastic training as a kid. So after that, I had high school wrestling, then after that, pro wrestling, and then from there, kind of took on with MMA training. So MMA training helped me a lot as well. So, and I still practice that at the gym, even though I don't go to the actual trainings. Whatever little time I get, I go to the gym, I hit the bag, I remember my techniques and everything, and when I get a chance to go in the ring, that's when I go all out. And you know, I don't want to curse, but it's just half-ass. I don't half-ass anything, but I go all out, and that's something I love to do. I love to train, and that's one thing I did in Mexico. I did nothing but train every day, even though my body was killing me. I pushed myself to the limit, and I took every little advantage I can to train as much as I can with CML guys, with AAA guys, you know. I got a little bit of something off everybody because everybody has something that I can learn from, you know, not just high flying, but technical submissions. I love learning about submissions, and especially different types of ways they kick or any little thing like that. I took it to my advantage and used it in the States. So I still, even though, like I said, I don't practice in the ring sometimes, but I take every little bit of it that I know, and I go to the gym or either the flip gym, you know, that's one of my favorite places to train as well. I try to get my body to relax and just focus and, you know, practice and whatever opponent that I get, you know, I feel that person out in the ring and, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I think we got something. So that's something right away that I love to do, and, you know, I adapt to it right away. And, you know, like I said, I love to call it art. You know, that's what I love to do, art in the ring. So that's how I prepared.
And I think that really came out with your series of matches with El Generico, because he also had such a varied style. Of course, now he's in, you know, he's in Mexico,
yeah,
taking care of the orphans. You know, we all know that's what he's doing. But it really came out because, you know, you meet certain opponents, and I will admit, I have not seen a lot of your AAA stuff, but it's different. Each person has their own style, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
And when you meet someone that has as much of a variation of style as you, sometimes that can be magic, because you both kind of feel each other out, and you're anticipating what the other's going to do, and then you have to counter that. So I think that is the art of, you know, of wrestling, essentially. So, but yeah, if you don't mind me asking, what weight class were you in high school? Because I wrestled too. So
Actually, my coaches pushed me a lot. You know, I think that's what in high school got a little stronger, and you know, I was 152 wrestling 165.
Nice.
So when I went to state, I wrestled at 152. It was easier for me because I got used to wrestling heavier guys. I used to practice with the heavyweights as well.
Mm-hmm.
They pushed me so much. You know, it's something that I love about it, because if I wouldn't have been pushed, I wouldn't have gone to state, or I wouldn't have you know, push myself. I would have just been lazy. I'm like, I guess this guy's okay. You know, that's something I like to do. And believe it or not, actually, before wrestling, I was a gunboater Marines. That's something I always wanted to do. It was either wrestling or the Marines, because I love their training and I love the fact that we push them, and, you know, to their limits. And that's something I like to do, you know. And when I found wrestling, I'm like, I fell right away immediately in love with it. And the trainings and some of the trainings I've gone through, I was really pushed that really hard, and some of the guys quit, and I stood by it, you know. And cause I started liking it, and especially inside the ring and me being on the top rope, it's a different feeling. I'm like, wow, I think I got something here, you know. So
no, I think we hear that it's like a rush, and it's indescribable for
anyone
that has never been, like myself. I've never been to the top rope of anything.
That's the perfect word, like a rush, you know. That's the same thing I had in high school, like when I was wrestling on state, like my own weight class, you know, even though I was used to wrestling 10, 20 pounds heavier than me, you know, win or lose, you know, I still had the advantage when I went to state.
Well, that's fantastic. I appreciate you talking about that, you know, because it does bring back some memories for myself. I also wrestled
at
weight class as well. I was in the 150 range because I also was playing football. So there wasn't always a lot of transition in my weight. And, you know, the coach was like, oh, no, don't cut. Just, you know, work with what you have. And I was like, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So, but enough of my Al Bundy years. It's time to talk about the big event happening in April, WrestleCon. Just a fantastic event. It's amazing that we have so many promotions coming together to work alongside each other. And, of course, some of the main promotions, Evolve and Dragon Gate USA, you are a part of. I am lucky enough, I'm flying out on Thursday to come to New Jersey, so I will be seeing you at the Evolve in both Dragon Gate shows. At Evolve, Friday, April 5th at 4 p.m., you are taking place. It's a historic event. It's the crowning the first ever Evolve champion. You are in the four-way freestyle. You're taking on Rich Swann, Sammy Callahan, and Jigsaw. And it's different than, and you know, we'll talk about this in an upcoming match you're going to be having Dragon Gate on Sunday. This is obviously just going to be a I want to say pure wrestling. You know, the ladders are not involved in this one. And you have a guy like Rich Swann who has a style similar to yours. You have Sami Callihan, who's hard hitting, and you have Jigsaw, who is just he's a mix. You know, he's a hybrid wrestler. And obviously, what does the Evolve Championship mean to you? For you to win that and be the first ever champion, that's your name in the history books. But two, you're going to be facing a lot of competition. Some of them that you have before. What are your thoughts going into this? You know, you have to mentally prepare as well.
I know how Sami works. I know how Jigsaw works. And I know how Swan works. So I got to put all that together, and I need to understand how, like, to myself, how can I go through them, you know? Because I know there's a lot of competitions, and those guys are awesome, you know, to work with. And I got to find, like, not like a weakness, but maybe a way I can work my way around them so I can get them for that 1, 2, 3, you know? It's all mental focus, you know, for now. I can prepare my body wise and everything, but at the same time, I gotta look back at what they do, you know, even though I've wrestled with them, but it's like an all mental thing right now. And if I go through them, you know, that's, I believe if I go with Chuck Taylor, if anything,
yes,
you know, it's like I know how Chuck Taylor works and everything. He's a great guy, he's a great wrestler as well.
Yeah, he's slightly time, different, you know, from them as well. Like slightly from the three of them, so.
Exactly, and I've been through him before, you know. I beat him before, so that's something I have in my back pocket. I have planned for him. But if anything, if I meet John Davis or Ricochet, you know, that's a big step for me, you know. And I believe if all goes well, for me, that will be a big accomplishment in my career and everything. You know, it's something I can cherish my whole life. And I'm like, wow, I really worked so hard for this, you know. Either John Davis or Ricochet or anybody that stands in my way and I win that tournament, that would mean a lot to me. It would have mean like me giving me the Octagon Junior in Mexico, you know. That's how big it would have mean for me, if anything, you know. But like I said, hard work pays off. And 2012, I worked my butt off. And I believe it paid off, you know. Right now, it's paying off still. So I want to see how hard I can work, and if it pays off at the end, then I want to see where I can go from that.
And you know, I definitely feel that, you know, I'm happy that I'm going to be at the event to, you know, to check that out. It's going to be quite a historic event. So that does occur Friday, April 5th at 4 p.m. I hope everyone who gets a chance can check that out. Before we talk about the Dragon Gate stuff, Des Delgadillo, who usually is my co-host on interviews, unfortunately he was called into work at the last minute, but he just texted me. He wanted me to ask, and it's not something I can answer, actually. What is the music that you use in Dragon Gate USA? As a point of reference, he's also a Hispanic, and so he gets sometimes these references that I don't. So I'm assuming there's something there.
It's actually, I've heard that music before. I just never paid too much attention to it. One day I just, I heard of it and I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool, you know? Like, this is, and then I am a Lucha guy. And the reason, like, for those Spanish speakers, they understand what they're saying. That I'm basically talking about Lucha being so tough. It doesn't matter who's in front of them. I can dodge this and that. And give you a head scissors, and I'm still badass. That's what it's trying to say. That's what it's actually saying. That I am a lucha badass, basically, and we're the badass of a badass.
That's awesome.
Saying. And it's called Mas Chingon. You know, even though it sounds like Mas Chingon, like the more badass, is they just took the S off. You know, it's just Mas Chingon. That's what it's called, and it's all lucha.
Awesome.
I think it's pretty cool. Yeah, no problem.
All right, so let's get into this, though. Dragon Gate USA, Saturday, April 6th is the first show, 8 p.m. That's obviously the main event of that is Open the Phenom Gate title between Gargano and Shingo. You're on the match as well. Mm-hmm. Your match, you're going up against a guy that you may face on Friday, John Davis. He's a, you know, he's a pretty big dude. You know, we've had him on the show before talking about some stuff, and he, you know, as we were talking about before, going up against a style that, you know, he's just hard hitting, and he's going to go there, and obviously, perhaps he'll try to ground you. And I am looking forward to that match the most, other than the Evolve card, because I really do understand. I dig the Evolve style a lot more. Not saying that I like it more than Drag It USA, but just the athleticism in it, it's different. Whereas in Drag It USA, I kind of feel like I don't know how to put this, but the theory behind a lot of the matches are, you know, you're trying to showcase what you can do, whereas in Evolve, you are literally representing a style of wrestling. But, you know, notwithstanding, so in Dragon Gate, obviously, you're climbing the ranks there as well. Defeating him obviously puts you in line for title contention. You know, you have quite a few wins in the past. You know, you defeated Ryo Saito and Eita. So if you defeat John Davis, just to kind of put it out there, are you going to be gunning at Johnny Gargano for the Open the Phenom Gate title?
That's exactly what I'll probably be doing. You know, I don't want to look down no more. I want to look up. I want to keep going. And I want to challenge the best out there. I don't want to stay on the ground and, you know, see who comes next or anything like that. No, I want to look for the prize and get it. So if anything with John Davis, I know I've recently wrestled him, and first time I wrestled him, I got a win out of him, and I think that upset him the most, you know. So right now, if I beat John Davis on April, I think it'll be something big, you know, and I believe that I can do anything. So if I beat him once, why not beat him again twice? So he has a win on me, and I have a win on him. So we need that tiebreaker, and I'm gonna give it all I got. You know, there was a few mistakes I made the second match with him that I should have thought of or, you know, encountered, but I know he's a strong guy, you know, and my quickness did work a little bit, but I got to be more smart about it. And John Davis is one of the guys I'm looking forward to getting my revenge at and breaking that tiebreaker.
Absolutely. This is going to be the rubber match, folks, so you want to check that out. The next day, Sunday, April 7th at 1 p.m., so earlier time, because obviously there's some other wrestling event going on Sunday, so, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that that afternoon, Ladders Are Legal, High Flyers Frey. You are announced to be on a match with guys like Facade, Matt, and Nick Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was kind of alluding to at the beginning of the interview. How do you even prepare for a ladder match that also incorporates your style? Because that, you know, as you said, you know, this is art in the ring. This is kind of like adding a different color to the palette, and all of a sudden you have
something
to use. And obviously with the men that you're going to be in there with, I think it's going to be a fantastic match. But, you know, I don't know. As you said, you're not bringing a lot, but I'm assuming you're not bringing a ladder into the gym.
I don't think so, man. I'm too small for that. Gotta carry the whole thing off my back. But, yeah, that event is actually pretty awesome. I've worked a few ladder matches, well, TLC matches before throughout my whole career. And I know what I'm capable of doing, and I know what I'm not capable of doing. So anything can happen, you know, and especially with the guys that I'll be wrestling with, they're really great talent. You know, it's something I got to be prepared for. So like I said, anything can happen, and I just say, people, watch us all, because you may never know what might happen. So
it's kind of funny because, you know, obviously we mentioned the Young Bucks, both Matt and Nick are in the match as well. It's almost like they have a chance to scout you at the King of Flight tournament and go, okay, you know, whether they face you or not in the brackets, they can go, okay, this is what we can watch them. And obviously, you know, you've met them before, and, you know, we're all aware. But as you said, you evolve your game, you evolve your style. And I think this is going to be a great way to cap off the weekend.
Well, that's a risk, you know. I like taking risks, but in a smart way, you know. I got to really think about what I'm going to do, and especially with the Young Bucks, I know they work together, and that's something I got to look out for.
them working together can be a really, really great disadvantage for me because, you know, I can never know whether they can double team me or anything, put me out of my way, you know, like, I gotta be real smart about that. So, like I said, there's some risks that I'm thinking of taking, but at the same time, I gotta be real smart about it.
Absolutely. So that, of course, takes place at WrestleCon, a whole weekend full of events. It's going to be a lot of fun in New Jersey. I just have to ask you this, you know, it being obviously WrestleMania weekend, is there anything at WrestleMania that you're looking forward to? Are you even going to be able to watch it on Sunday?
Well, I would like to watch it, you know. At the same time, I really don't know what I'll be doing at that weekend, so I don't know if I'm going to be preparing or, you know, like I said, If anything, that's why there's the internet. So if I don't get to watch it, you know, right away the internet or what's going on, I'm always keep myself, you know, trying to see what's going on in the world, you know, in the wrestling world. But if anything, I would love to watch it. You know, that's something I like to watch. You know, you can't miss it. You know, even though there's gonna be matches there that I think are gonna be great, some are gonna be okay. But at the same time, I love watching it. You know, it's pretty cool. It's different, and it's entertaining.
Absolutely. So, Samuel Del Sol, we want to thank you for the time you spent with us. As always, we like to give our guests a chance to plug away either your social media or some events that are also coming up. Obviously, we just mentioned a few that are this weekend, and of course, you know, at WrestleCon. Anything mm-hmm. past that? Anything else? Just let everyone know.
Sure. Actually, I'll be wrestling in Puerto Rico as Octagon Junior. And you can see the website. Their company name is called WWL. You know, there's going to be a whole bunch of stars, AAA stars, TNA stars. It's going to be a big event. You know, I'll be going against Rey Mysterio and the Son of El Santo in the facility. So that's it's going to be pretty huge. You know, so and it's actually the announcer of WWE, the Mexican announcer that used to be there, he's actually putting everything together. And also the following week after that, I think it's going to be next month. I got to get the dates, but I'll be going to Russia for the first time. Something else I'm looking at soon. And it's called IWF Russia. I'll put it on my Twitter. You just guys can follow me on Twitter at Samurai Del Sol. With a Y. I'll be reposting everything else that I have upcoming. So if anything, if I don't quite have the actual dates in mind, I have to look in my calendar. But if anything, just follow me at Samurai Del Sol, or you can check my website at samuraidelsol.com.
Awesome. And as always, listeners, thank you for listening. We greatly appreciate it. Send any comments and feedback to mailbag at pwponderings.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at pwponderings. Thank you again, Samuel Del Sol. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for everything. And lucha for everybody. Watch the events, man.